ですよ。ねえけど、Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see you all, as always. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to look at the book of Hebrews today, and we're going to be looking at chapter 10. In particular, verses 19 to 25. Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 25. I'm just going to read that out for us. You ready? Let's hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, brothers and sisters, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe that we, as a group of people, as the body of Christ, as a group of believers, we are called to enter as a unified group the holiest place. I believe that's our calling on a Sunday morning. And we do lots of other things. We parent, and we evangelize, and we have fellowship, we do home groups. We do all such amazing things in the name of Jesus. But when we gather together as a Sunday morning, we are called to enter the holiest place. So what I want to talk to us today about is to show you that there is a holiest place, and it's not made with hands. Okay? Secondly, I'd like to show that we as believers, we are able to go there. You and I as believers, washed in the blood of Jesus, filled with the Spirit, we are able to go to the holiest place. And thirdly, I'd like to show that we are not only worthy and able, but we are actually being invited by God. This is not a new initiative that I've come up with. I thought, I know, what can we do on a Sunday morning? Let's go to the holiest place. It's in the Word of God. It's God's idea, it's not mine. So I'm going to try and show you those three things. So the holiest place. Now, in the Old Testament, I'm going to give you a bit of a general sweep of the Old Testament. The Lord desired to dwell among his people. So what he did, he set up a tent. And it's called a tabernacle. And in that tent was what's called the most holy place, the holiest place, the holy of holies. And once a year, the high priest of God's people, he goes into the holiest place and he sprinkles the blood of innocent bulls and goats on the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, which is in that place, called the Mercy Seat, and that would temporarily cover the sins of him, his family, and the people. Now, what a strange thing to do. When was the last time you saw somebody sacrifice an animal and started throwing blood all over the place? It's quite odd, isn't it, for us as Western thinkers. But the whole point of that sacrificial system, of what it's called, is that God was setting up a system where the innocent would die, so the guilty would go free. When you read Leviticus, and you see the sacrificial system set up, and you think, what is going on here? Just be thinking, the broad screw, actually God himself, Yahweh, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Jesus, Father God, he's setting up a system where the innocent die, so the guilty goes free. Now, that one day of the year in the Old Testament was called Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the Day of Covering. That was all pointing to a moment in history where Jesus Christ, the innocent one, would be slain as the Lamb of God, and he would die on the cross, and he would rise again. And after he'd risen, he would go to the holiest place in the heavens, the tabernacle, not made with hands. And he would sprinkle his blood on the altar of the holiest place in the heavens, giving us, obtaining for you and me as believers, eternal redemption. Meaning an eternal freedom from sin. An eternal freedom from consciousness of sin. Hebrews 9:11. I'm just going to read some passages there. You don't have to find them. You can if you like, but I'm going to... Sometimes I feel like I nail one point in a sermon. Sometimes I feel like I'm just throwing a load of seeds. So we're kind of somewhere in between this morning. Hebrews 9:11 says this: "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands." That is, not of this creation. That's what the Bible says. So there is a tabernacle that's more great and perfect than any other place, any other tabernacle made, that's not of this creation. Hebrews 8:5 says, "For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, but so a priest who offered the gifts according to the law, who served the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, 'See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain.'" You see, the whole point of the tabernacle on the earth was that it was showing Moses and the people of God and us what was in heaven. See, the tabernacle was built as a model of what was already in heaven. Hebrews 9:12. "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, Jesus entered the most holy place." Hebrews 9:24. "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself." So again, the tabernacle that was made on the earth was a copy of the true tabernacle that was in heaven, and Christ didn't enter the holy place made with hands, he entered into heaven itself. In Hebrews 10:19, as we read, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, having boldness to enter the holiest place." So the Bible clearly tells us, through the story of the Old Testament, and now the writer of the Hebrews, telling us that all of what happened in the Levitical system and the sacrificial system was pointing to when Jesus would sprinkle his blood in the heavens, giving us eternal redemption. And lastly, from Hebrews 8:1-2, he kind of summarizes this up. He says, "Now this is the main point of things we are saying." I love it when writers say that. This is the main point. He's reading all this stuff, thinking, wow, this is far out. "Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest," that's you and I, "who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man." That's the word of the Lord. I'm not making this up. This is what the Bible says. I'm going to read that again because I love that. "We have such a high priest, Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man." So there is a place called the most holy place, the true tabernacle, the holy of holies, that is in the heavens. now. Like right now. And it always has been. And when the Lord got the people of God to make the tabernacle on earth, he wasn't inventing it then. He was making it a model of what was already in the heavens. The sanctuary, the holiest, the true tabernacle, not of this creation. Now, number two, we are able to go there as believers in Jesus. We are able to go there. This is awesome. You know, the main obstacle to us going there is actually what the Bible calls an evil conscience. There may well be other obstacles, like you might not believe in God. That's a fair obstacle. You need to get that sorted. And if that's you, come and see me afterwards. I would love to pray with you. But actually, as believers in Christ, one of the things we struggle with so much is what the Bible calls, as I said, an evil conscience. It's that morality inside us. That moral thing that says, something not right with me. There's something not right. It's never enough. What I do is never enough. It's never enough to please me. It's never enough to please those around me. And knowing that there's a creator, having suppressed it, but we just know there's something not right with us. But the good news is that Jesus Christ has already freed you as a believer in Christ from an evil conscience. He's already done it. Okay. I read a little bit of this before, but this is becoming one of my favourite verses in the Bible. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Now, if you hear me repeat, I'm just emphasizing. Jesus Christ went into the heavens, the most holy place. He entered there, sprinkled his blood in the most holy place, and he obtained for you and me eternal redemption. Not temporary redemption, which is what the covering of the blood in the Old Testament was. This is a new and living way, the Bible says. Not deeming the Old Testament irrelevant, it's just for the context of what we're saying. You need to know that you have been sprinkled from an evil conscience. And now your job as a Christian is not to do things to get a good conscience. It's now to pursue the truth that you have a clean conscience. It's different. That's why leaders and elders and I'm sure other people and brothers and sisters, we're encouraging one another to spend time with the Lord, not because we're saying, well, you're a bit sinful this week, you need to spend a couple of extra hours in prayer. It's actually to say you need to spend more time in prayer because you don't realise how free you really are. Eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Jesus has cleansed your conscience. Why has he done that? He's cleansed your conscience so you can worship him, so you can be with him, so you can go to him, so you can spend time with him. So you can go to the holiest place, so you can go to the true tabernacle, so you can go to the sanctuary, you can go to the most holy, you can go to the heavens. I'm just reading the Bible. How do we walk this out? Well, there's an individual element to this. Okay, there's an individual element to it. We're all individually accountable before God for our lives. And you and I, when we go home tonight, we put our heads on the pillow and we lay there, we're individuals. But when we come on a Sunday, there's a corporate invitation by the Lord for us to enter into the holiest place. And to begin to understand what that means. And to begin to, yes, but to begin to understand what that means. That's what we're doing here. That's why we're here. And did you know that God is glorified by you walking out your forgiveness? How do I glorify God when I'm walking around in Tesco's? Do I have to get my guitar out and get on my knees and start singing a hymn? No. You walk out your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, I'm forgiven. Cornflakes or bowlers? Thank you, Jesus, I'm forgiven. Semi-skinned organic or full fat? Let's go full fat. Thank you, Jesus, for my forgiveness. That's by two. That is glorifying God. Did you know that? Because a sacrifice that was made on the cross by Jesus, such a high price, sprinkling his blood in the heavenlies, paying such a high price for your and my forgiveness, we're then glorifying Jesus by walking out. We're not glorifying Jesus by going, I'm just a dirty, beaten old sinner. There ain't nothing much I'm going to be able to do today because Jesus don't love me. I'm just going to have to go back to church again. I'm just sinning so much. I'm just such a downbeat loser. That's not glorifying God. That's not glorifying anybody. I've tried that. Have you tried it? I've tried it. It's not working. It's not working. What we want to do is step in by faith and receive the forgiveness all the time. So when we're waking up and I've struggled with this. So I go downstairs, I'm thinking, I just need to connect with the Lord. Now I'm learning, because I'm learning. I'm not there yet, but I'm learning to wake up already having been redeemed. Because that's what the Bible says. Already having been set free. Redemption. There's a picture of someone who's just tied up in chains. And then there's a high price for their release. And Jesus comes up and says, I'll buy that person with my life. They're out. They're free now. Go and live your life. With me, I'll be with you. That's the good news of Jesus. Nothing to do with what we do. Nothing. I'm not saying that praying and doing good works is bad. It's just we don't do them with a heart of, I'm now pleasing God. We have to do this from a free conscience, a sprinkling of an evil conscience. Because it's been cleansed that we might worship him, we might minister to him as a body. Because if you notice in that scripture, there's so many us's in there. Let us draw near. As a body of believers, let us hold fast to confession. Therefore, brothers and sisters, it doesn't say, therefore, one person, you be bold and enter the holiest on your own. Now that happens, as I said, there's a context for that. But today we're talking about as a unit. The Lord is calling us to go up, to enter the holiest place as a body, as a collective. And we have to learn to do that as a group. And no one's there yet, perfectly. Now, do we always work it out? Probably not. We're always teachable, we're always learning. But that's the whole point of us gathering together and actually engaging with Jesus as a group. Because we need to know that our boldness and confidence to enter the holiest is by the blood. It's by the blood of Jesus. I'm going to read it again. Therefore, brothers and sisters, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Another word there, boldness, is confidence. Having confidence in the blood of Jesus. It's not mustering up enough confidence for yourself. It's confidence in a work that's done external to yourself. It's done external to us. It's a work done not by us. And so we have faith in that work. That's what gives us confidence. See, we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit as one of his own. It says in Ephesians 1:13. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. When you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you receive him as Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit stamps the seal of approval of you, giving you permission and authority to have confidence in the finished work of Jesus. By sprinkling the blood in the heavens so you can go to the heavens. He sprinkled that blood in a heavenly place so you could go up, so you could experience God's presence. We hear a lot in the body of Christ about God's presence. This is an element of it, going to the holiest place. That's where our confidence is. We have permission and authority to go there. Verse 20 says, by a new and living way. Now, it's a living reality that we are forgiven. We have been, Jesus has obtained for us eternal freedom, eternal redemption. So it's a living reality. The Bible says that Jesus' blood speaks a better word than that of Abel. The blood of Abel was blood of revenge. The blood of Jesus is mercy. Mercy. Yours is mercy. Believers, brothers and sisters, yours is mercy. That's the cry of Jesus over you right now. Mercy. The blood of Jesus is mercy. It's not revenge. It's mercy. We've been given things we don't deserve. But that doesn't mean we don't take it. We're never going to understand everything about God. But we comprehend God. We comprehend His truth and we say, I'm going to walk in that forgiveness. My confidence is going to be in the blood of Jesus. I am going to receive my permission by the stamp of the Holy Spirit to say that I have confidence in the blood of Jesus to enter into His presence. Verse 21 says, and having a high priest over the house of God, we are the house of God, we have a high priest over us. Sprinkle freedom, mercy over us right now, all of us. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Bodies being washed with pure water is the word of God. The living way is the word of God. Continual engagement with the word of God, week by week, day by day, as and when you're having your body cleansed with the washing of the water of the word. Now, as I said, it's a corporate call to enter the holiest. And the Bible tells us also that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, the household of God. We are carrying God in us. Now, if that's not a mystery, I don't know what is. But we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And you think, well, okay, which tabernacle is it? The heavens or me? Well, I believe that we are called to go to the holiest place to become on earth what we behold in heaven. We are called as a body of believers to go to the holiest place and become on earth what we behold in heaven. Was that not the Lord's prayer? On earth as it is in heaven. So how on earth are you going to know if heaven's on earth if you don't go there? How are you going to know, this is heaven on earth, right? Well, how do you know that? I mean, you'd have a better idea if you went there. I'm just saying. Just an idea. You have the strength and the power to disagree with me. I believe that we are being called to go there. Because the scripture says, therefore, brethren, brothers and sisters, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So what I want to do, we've got a few more minutes. I just want to end with a bit of a practical exercise. Now this is an invitation. Okay? No one's going to be asked to do anything they don't want to do. I promise you, because your friends are like me, as soon as someone says perhaps for exercise, you sit there going, oh, he's not going to ask me. And then you end up not engaging with God and it's over and you wonder why you're worried in the first place. So just engage with the Lord, okay? James, could I ask you to come and just pluck a little bit on the guitar? Let's get some guitar going. We love a bit of guitar. In Ephesians 5:19, Paul talks about speaking psalms and singing hymns and singing spiritual songs. Now, spiritual songs it's like singing from your spirit, your born-again spirit. And I believe that when we as a body of believers worship and we do things, we're inviting Jesus to do things. And I believe that as we sing in spiritual songs, we're actually creating a gateway to experience the holiest place. It's not manipulation, this is just Bible instruction. All of this is obedience. Again, I say, it's not my idea, this is obeying what God is calling us to do. And so what I want you to do is close your eyes, and I just want you to begin just with your heart, the core of your being, your spirit. Just begin speaking your love for God. Now, it might just be, you just say, I love you. 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 We love you. We love this. It doesn't have to, no, you're not on show, you're not on trial, you're not on stage. But I just want you to begin to raise your voices a bit in a way that you feel comfortable. Now some of us might speak in tongues, that's a heavenly language, that's a gift from the Lord. So you might just want to sing. Just be bold. Say, thank you, Jesus. We worship. We thank you, Jesus. Our confidence is in you. Our confidence is in the blood. Our confidence is in nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And allow us to enter the most holy place. We thank you for your presence. We worship you. We worship you. That's it. Keep going. Thank you, Jesus. Just begin to allow your confidence to grow. Just allow it to grow. Yes, Jesus. No one's watching, but Jesus love. Thank you, yes, Jesus. Prayer warriors, begin to speak out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, just 100% God for this
message we'll get today, because the sermon that God has put in my heart when I went to Finland, I spoke about it, and I'd like just to add something to what Paul said here, because I said it in Finland, and I think that it's the same way. He talked about the obstacle, but I feel that in my heart that I have to say it here. The Bible, Jesus said that we cannot put the new wine in the old wineskins. And if you want God to purify our conscience, we need the blood of Jesus. And Jesus said that weak you are, you know how to give good things to your children. However, my Father can give the Holy Spirit to those ones who ask Him. So we need to show to our Lord that we have this testimony of the Holy Spirit in our life, and God will do it. We cannot serve God by our force, by our strength. We cannot serve God with our knowledge. But we need Holy Spirit all the time. And every day we have to ask God. Before to do anything in our life, we need Holy Spirit. Yeah. This is the message I was looking to share.
Yeah, let's just respond to that for a moment. The hunger for the Holy Spirit. If you don't have a hunger for the Holy Spirit, just ask. Lord, I want more of your Holy Spirit. Let's just speak out to Him. Lord, I want more of your Holy Spirit. I need more of you in my life. Lord, I'm hungry and thirsty for you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm hungry and thirsty. I'm hungry and thirsty for you, Lord Jesus. Hungry and thirsty for you. Hungry and thirsty. Lord, I hunger to thirst for your presence. Hunger and thirst for the holiest place. Lord Jesus, we worship. Just to say, we as leaders and elders and those of us up here, if you feel you're bereft of a hunger for the Holy Spirit, or you need prayer for anything else, then James is going to play for a few more minutes, and we're going to invite you up to the front. And please, if you need Jesus, just come to the front. And we would love to pray with you. It's not us doing it, we're just conduits of the Lord, serving the Lord and serving His people. We'd love to serve you by praying for you in any way you need it. So please don't leave here carrying anything that you just know the Lord is putting you up to get some prayer ministry for. And so I'll close the service officially, and we'll serve tea and coffee, but please, we'll still be up here. And And we'd love to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, whatever else you need. So Father, thank you for this service. Thank you today, Lord. Thank you for taking us to the most holy place. Lord, we just pray that you would bless the rest of our day. In Jesus' name. Amen.